This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. We're discussing Ohio Medicaid expansion with Democratic State Senator Eric Kearney, who supports the proposal, and Republican State Senator Bill Seitz, who's opposed. You can join the conversation, too. Our number is 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Senator Kearney, before the break, I'd asked Senator Seitz about, would this be more palatable if it was separate, if it wasn't part of affordable health care, the Affordable Health Act or Obamacare, and you said you wanted to respond to that.
Yeah, I would like to take just to provide a different view of things. I think that if you look back, the individual mandate was actually an idea that many Republicans supported when George Bush was president. And I think that further, that the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as some people refer to it, strongly favor its enactment. So, for instance, 275,000 Ohioans would get health care. They would be able to better perform on their jobs, be able to keep their jobs in some instances. And it would provide additional jobs in the economy, in the hospital sector, and other sectors. And so those are all attractive things about the Affordable Care Act. The only thing that seems to be holding some of my colleagues back in the General Assembly is the fact that it is associated with President Obama. So in meeting with the governor several months ago, he said, I want to give you two pieces of advice. Don't use two words. One, Obama. Two, expansion. So don't refer to it as being affiliated with or associated with President Obama, and don't use the word expansion. Use the word reform. So I think that's very telling about the strategy and the approach of some members of the General Assembly.
We know that, as we've said, you're for this expansion or reform.
It's expansion.
Expansion. But who are we talking about? Who would be helped with this expansion?
Well, essentially, they're people in our economy who are what we'll describe as the working poor, and they would be typically adults, single adults who are working and do not have health care. It is not a program to help people who are not working. So already Medicaid covers ABD, aged, blind, and disabled. It also helps children. And it helps pregnant women and women with children. All those things would be kept in place, but this expansion goes to those people in our economy who are working oftentimes at minimum wage jobs, who run into healthcare issues, and it would increase the eligibility up to 138% of the federal poverty level.
One of the things about this it would increase the federal government's share up to 90% of the cost.
Well, 100% for the first 3 years,
right.
And then 90% for 7 years thereafter.
Okay. And one of the arguments against it is, what if that just doesn't materialize? What if if the federal government just ends
reneging
on the promise?
Well, a couple of things that I would say in response. We live in a state that has laws listed under the Ohio Revised Code. And revised means that they change, and it depends upon what legislature is in power, what governor is in power. So laws change all the time. So there's no more certainty about any law that's on the federal books now today as there is tomorrow. I believe, though, that that this program and the way that it is designed will be attractive to employers, to those who are working, and to most Americans once it's enacted, so that people will say, hey, listen, we need to have this. It'll become fully integrated into our economy. I know people want to just focus on kind of the political aspects of the Affordable Care Act, but there are many other aspects of it, like the medical imaging, the record keeping, the allowance of that you can get health insurance even though you have a pre-existing condition, and those other aspects of the bill. So there are many great things about it that would, in my belief, would keep people that would have support going forward.
Well, you know, Howard, that really is the issue, and I believe it is a solvable issue. The federal government, Kathleen Sebelius, Governor Gilligan's daughter, has said under oath that states may back out of the expansion once they accept the money without any financial penalty. So if the feds change the rules, the question is, can we back out without any financial penalty? She says yes. I have insisted that that be put in the form of a binding legal commitment from the federal government, which can be done either by act of Congress, not very likely, or through what's called a Medicaid plan amendment, which is a contract between the federal government and the state. In my view, if we get that binding legal commitment, then it may well be worth the risk to accept the money going forward, because we have the legal certainty of being able to get out of the deal when and if they renege. Their track record is not good. 50% of all the deadlines established by Obamacare have so far been missed by the federal government. They've had to postpone and delay and cancel portions of the program because they're just not ready to roll it out. The vision is very much as Eric described, very noble, but the actual track record on implementation to date has been rather abysmal.
Well, I would disagree with that. A couple of things is, one, the federal government is actually showing flexibility when they extended certain deadlines or didn't enact certain deadlines. And then further, the administration has said that they're committed to providing these dollars. As Bill noted, Secretary Sebelius has also made that commitment. It's gone up and down the federal government in sworn testimony. Members of the administration have even said that they would provide this funding. But as Bill well knows, in 4 years, if there's a different administration in and a different HHS director, a different CMS director, that could all change despite having a legally binding agreement. People
not
change.
Not if there's a legally binding contractual commitment, then it couldn't change.
Well, people so if change we get that all the time.
So if we get that legally binding commitment, then my position is that I would actually support the expansion of Medicaid.
So if we got a commitment from
– I have said that to you before and I say it again.
Well, okay, Bill. But we know that they will provide that commitment.
I'm waiting to see it.
That.
You have assured me that they will, and I have no doubt that you would be successful in getting that commitment, but I sure would like to see it before we vote on it.
But you can't ask them to provide a commitment before the legislature says that they'll do it.
Well, they can provide a draft of the agreement, and I'm hoping that that's what we would see.
Well, the draft part's the first I've heard that.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And again, you can join the conversation. The number 513-419-7100, 513-419-7100. Elizabeth is calling from Wyoming. And Elizabeth, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Actually, you pretty much answered my question about if the technical eligibility would change. But I'm an expanse of that would... if a person, if say a young man is working, but then he loses his job because of a health issue, you know, he's hit by a car or he's breaks a leg or something, he can't work, would he still be covered? And also, would the Medicaid coverage for these expanded people be the same as it is for the current population that's eligible for Medicaid?
Who wants to take that?
I think the answer, yeah, I think the answer is yes and yes to both your questions, ma'am.
Yay.
Elizabeth, we appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks.
Senator Seitz, we've heard this. Maybe I'm making things too simple, but maybe I'm a simple person, though, too, that it basically it's a moral issue versus a money issue. And I think for you, from what I've read, some comments you gave to the Inquirer,
it's a legal issue.
but you talk a lot about the money, and I know you referenced the federal deficit.
Well, we would never even be having this discussion unless the federal government was offering a 100% match for 3 years and 90% thereafter. The moral issue is unchanged. If it was a moral imperative to provide this coverage now, but why was it not also a moral imperative to provide this coverage in the previous 227 years of the Republic's existence? So the moral issue is sort of being trumped up. The fact of the matter is this is being driven by money. The hospitals want the extra money. The businesses want more people on Medicaid so they don't have to cover them through business employer-provided insurance. The state wants the money. Governor Kasich wants the money. Obviously, it's a very attractive proposition. For example, our prison population could now be paid for by federal dollars instead of state dollars. So it very much is about the money. The enticement that they're offering is real and it is substantial. And my only concern is when the money runs out, when the federal government wakes up to the $17 trillion national debt that they've accumulated, I just want the legal certainty that the state of Ohio can say, the money is not there like you promised. We are now going back to our prior rules of eligibility. If we get that certainty, I am willing to swallow my reservations about the federal debt and support the expansion. If we do not get that commitment, I will remain opposed because I think it's a bait-and-switch routine.
Senator Kearney, moral versus money.
I don't want to get into a moral argument, but what I would say is that there are 1.5 million Ohioans who are uninsured. That's a little bit more than 10% of our population. 75% of those people who are uninsured work. And so we have in our state a dilemma. And we've got a solution to that dilemma or that problem, and that's Medicaid expansion. We've got people who are working who don't have health insurance and could easily lose their job, and their family suffers, their neighborhoods suffer, our economy suffers, all because we don't have health care. So to me, it's in our best interest if we want people to continue to work, if we want our economy to continue to expand, that we would support Medicaid expansion. So that's my view, my take on it.
Eric, having some health care is certainly better than having no health care. But there is a legitimate debate as to whether Medicaid is the correct way to provide the health care on the basis that many, many doctors will refuse to take Medicaid because of the very low reimbursement rate that Medicaid involves. So there is a legitimate – one does not need to be an immoral person to question whether Medicaid is actually the best delivery system for health care. I think that's an independent debate, and that's really one of the great benefits of this argument. We are now moving in a bipartisan way to focus on how we can improve Medicaid. And that's why you heard Speaker Batchelder say the operative word is reform. I think the bipartisan group of senators working on this issue this summer are looking for ways to improve Medicaid, reduce the annual rate of increase of its cost while still delivering good health care. And if you couple reform with expansion in a legally responsible way, we might have a win-win that would satisfy everyone.
So you're saying that doctors, there are many doctors out there who would not take these patients.
That's true now.
Because they would not make enough money.
That's correct. That's true now, and that would be true under expansion.
What about that idea, Eric?
Well, a couple of things. One is I would say that if we're going to talk about is Medicaid the best way to do it, let's have that debate, right? But while we're having that debate, why should we have people who are suffering without health care? This is a – how do I put it? I feel very frustrated with my colleagues because we have effectively put our plan forward. Karen outlined a number of different bills. There's another bill that she didn't mention, and that's one that Senator Smith put forward that has full expansion. So we put everything out there on the table, different variations on it from Cafaro's bill all the way up to Smith's bill. And each time we get a different reason why, well, we can't do it for this reason, we can't do it for that reason, we can't do it for whatever reason. Let's cover these people the working poor. And then if there's a better way for Medicaid to provide those services, I'm more than willing to listen. But every time the argument seems to change. And so it's a moving target that I don't know. I guess I don't have a good aim.
What about this idea of some of the information I read preparing for this? There are some who are against the expansion that says if you do this, there's no incentive for these folks who are on Medicaid to go out and perhaps find a job that would have health benefits.
Well, they already have health benefits if they're on Medicaid. So,
but that's what I'm saying, though. There's no incentive, though, for them to try to better themselves, to find a job, to go find a position where they would have health insurance
without Medicaid.
Without Medicaid.
Yeah, the argument is it operates as an entitlement system and precludes people from upward mobility to the point where they no longer need Medicaid. Now, as a conservative, I've heard that argument. I'm not sure that's a very convincing argument. Stealing Eric's thunder, perhaps, but I just think that there wouldn't be that many people that would say, I'm going to stay poor just so I can keep on Medicaid, as opposed to trying to get beyond Medicaid, because Medicaid is not that great of a healthcare system to begin with. So that is not one of the more convincing conservative arguments that I personally have heard.
You talked about what you were talking about, if you could get a legal commitment on the funding from the federal government. Mm-hmm. Would other Republicans sign on to that? I know you said you would, but what about your colleagues?
I believe many of my Republican colleagues in the Senate share my abiding concern over that issue. And it is not a guarantee of continued federal funding. Obviously, we can't get that. What I'm seeking is a guarantee that we can back out if the federal government cuts the funding. There was great concern that the federal government might take away part of our pre-existing Medicaid funding stream if we accepted the expansion money and then tried to back out when they reneged on the deal. So that's the legal commitment that I'm seeking, and that's one that Eric says we can get. So all right, Mr. Kearney, bring me the document. Let's look at it.
Well, I mean – you know, it's not as easy as, oh, snap your fingers. But no, there's a good reason, I think, that the federal government has already said if you want to – if the state wants to leave the expansion, that's fine. And they will not be penalized for their other their other programs that are already in place.
And since they've said it under oath, and since they've said it repeatedly, they should have no problem putting it in the form of a binding legal document.
Right. And if the state of Ohio steps forward and says that they, you know, they'll move forward, that I think would be forthcoming.
Right.
But how would they not be penalized if we ended up opting out?
Well, if you opt out, then those people aren't covered, and you still keep your ABD.
You still keep the pre-existing Medicaid program, Howard, which covers children up to 200% of poverty,
right. The
age-blind and disabled population, pregnant women with children, and married people up to 138%, and singles 90% or below. That's the current program.
That would cut out a lot of the people who would be included in this.
Yeah, the 275,000 people, if that's the right number, that would be helped by the expansion, would be hurt by the abolition of the expansion. But we would not run the risk of hurting all those many hundreds of thousands more who are already on Medicaid under the existing program. We don't want to risk having a cutback. Remember, when Congress passed the Obamacare law, the law said you will expand Medicaid, all 50 states, or you will lose 100% of your pre-existing Medicaid funding. Now, the Supreme Court struck that down as being unduly coercive, but given their own devices, that's what Congress wanted to do.
We're talking today about a proposal to expand Ohio's Medicaid program. Lawmakers face a likely September 30th deadline to make a decision if the plan is to be implemented on January the 1st. And we'll continue our discussion in just a moment. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.